Well, this morning we come to number 4 in our series, At the Core, Embracing Our Values at 426. We've spent time over the past 4 weeks unpacking what these values look like and seeing how they align with Scripture and being challenged about how we might better implement them into our lives and to the lives of the church. And so this morning we're looking at value number 4, which is we value flexibility and willingness to adapt. Now, I think this is one of these values that is super easy to say, super easy to maybe even desire, but much harder to put into practice. Because we like to be comfortable. Most of us probably don't like change all that much. So it can be easy for us to stay the same, not to stretch ourselves or adapt. But the problem is that life is full of interruptions. Change is inevitable. But we can choose to have an attitude of adaptability. We can grow in flexibility if we really want to. I don't know about you, but I certainly feel like 2020 has been the year of many interruptions. Everything is changing, and most of us have been forced to adapt. Whether that's living through lockdown, maybe you've had to learn how to smile with your eyes when you wear a mask at the supermarket. We've had to be flexible in the way we worship, the way we connect with our family. Many of us have had to adopt new technologies or work in a different environment, exercise in a different way. I know it's tiring and it's been a lot of change all at once, but I wonder if we're better placed now than we ever were before to adopt these values of flexibility and adaptability because of what we learned in this season. See, flexibility is characterized by a ready capability to adapt to new, different, or changing requirements. The PE teacher inside of me jumps immediately to physical flexibility. It's a health-related component of fitness that relates to the range of motion that's available at a joint. See, flexibility is beneficial because it increases our range of motion. It decreases our risk of injury. It also reduces soreness and it improves athletic performance. When your joints and your muscles are flexible, you use less energy in motion, which improves your overall performance. It's not just beneficial for athletes, but to everyone to work on their physical flexibility. But here's the thing. If you want to increase your flexibility, you're going to have to stretch. It's the same with our attitude towards general flexibility in our values, in our behaviours. It might not come naturally. Over time, we sort of stiffen up. We get comfortable, locked in, and it takes a conscious effort for us to work on our flexibility. We have to stretch. We have to stretch our minds. We have to do something that might make us a little uncomfortable. Stretching might even hurt a little bit at first, but after time, it feels good. And our flexibility increases our range of motion. Our flexibility as people and as the church can increase our efficiency, our impact, our range of connection. Life is full of interruptions, but our flexibility and adaptability can help us to embrace change and to figure out what is best and ultimately grow us into something better. This morning, we're looking at this incredible and quite well-known passage of Scripture from Mark chapter 5. The story of the woman who had been sick for many, many years, who reaches out to Jesus, hoping that she will be healed because she just touches his robe. You know, I love this story of faith, of healing, of Jesus' attention to what is going on around him. But if we look at what happens either side of this story, either side of this encounter with the woman, we see that it's a story of many interruptions. Like Mark is known to do, he fits one story inside of another story, giving them a common link. See, we see Jesus return from the region of the Gerasenes. He arrives back on the other side of the lake to this large crowd. Presumably, the crowd are waiting for him to speak to them, to offer some teaching. Perhaps there was this expectation that maybe he might perform a miracle. We don't know for sure, but whatever is about to happen as he's crossed over the lake and arrives at this crowd is put on hold. See, Jairus, who is the leader of this synagogue, comes in absolute desperation to Jesus. His daughter is ill. She's critically sick. He doesn't think that she's going to make it, so he begs Jesus to come. He says in verse 23, "Please come and lay your hands on her, heal her, so she can live." Verse 24 says, Jesus went with him. No deliberation, no umming and ahhing. Jesus just goes. He pays attention to this interruption and he changes his plans. Jesus has a willingness to adapt in this moment. So he sets out and there is crowds and crowds of people following him, around him, curious to see what he's going to do next. I sort of imagine it like that moment when the football game's finished and you walk out of the stadium with crowds and crowds of people. You sort of don't know who's touching you or if you're touching them. There's no social distancing. And there's this woman in this crowd. She's suffered from constant bleeding for 12 years. She's had this chronic illness and she's used all her money on medical help. And all of it has just seemed to make her worse. And so she comes in the same desperate state that Jairus did. Except she has this incredible faith and she thinks, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. So on the way to this first interruption, there's another interruption. The woman makes her way through this crowd and she gets to Jesus and she reaches out and touches his robe. And immediately the bleeding stops. And Jesus realizes this pretty quickly, that this healing power has sort of gone out from him. And so he stops and he asks amongst this crowd, who touched my robe? Again, Jesus pays attention to the interruption. Now, I love the disciples' response in this moment because honestly, I think I would have said the same thing. They're like, what are you talking about, Jesus? Can you not see that we are in this huge crowd pushing and shoving and you ask, who touched me? The disciples are hesitant to listen to the interruption. I reckon they were probably just wanting to get on their way. They wanted to get the job done. They were setting out for Jairus' house. It was kind of time sensitive. They just wanted to get there. But Jesus knew that something had changed. And he didn't miss the opportunity to alter his plan a little to change someone's life. See, the disciples had become focused on where they wanted to go. They weren't willing to adapt to this disruption that had happened in the moment. I wonder if you've ever heard the story of the company Kodak. Kodak was founded in the late 1880s. It became a giant in the photography industry by the 1970s, and they filed for bankruptcy in 2012. See, in 1975, Steve Stassen, who was an engineer at Kodak, he invented the digital camera. So you would think, therefore, that this company would have been an early adopter to the digital camera industry. But no, they didn't release their first digital camera till 1991, well after the photography industry had made this shift towards digital images. Steve Stassen, the inventor, he told the New York Times that management's reaction to his invention was, "That's cute, don't tell anyone about it." They knew that this technology existed. They just didn't do anything about it. Kodak's managers' inability to see the digital photography industry as disruptive continued on. Even though they had researchers tell them that this new technology had the capability to completely replace Kodak's film-based business. Still, Kodak did little to prepare for this disruption. Their second mistake was after they acquired a photo sharing site in 2001. Again, they were ahead of the game. And if they had used this platform, much like Facebook and Instagram would eventually do, to share images with people, they would have been ahead of the curve in digital media sharing and social media interaction. But unfortunately, instead of adapting, instead of moving forward, they just reverted back to what they already knew. Kodak used this platform as an opportunity to encourage people to print more of their digital images. What a missed opportunity. They had all the right information, but they failed to adapt. Their organization was inflexible, and the result was devastating. I wonder if their management looked back and thought, wow, where might we have been today if we were just that little bit more flexible? If we'd adapted our approach and stretched ourselves and tried something new. What would have happened if Jesus decided he wasn't going to be flexible that day? What if he'd got stuck on his task, maybe preaching to the crowd? What if he hadn't paid attention to the interruptions? See, Jesus stopped when he felt this woman touch him. And he kept looking around until he found her. And they have this beautiful encounter where she falls to her knees and Jesus says to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace, your suffering is over." Our flexibility can change the lives of those we're willing to interrupt our set ways. Our flexibility as a church, as an organization, will determine our success and our effectiveness. We don't want to get caught like Kodak, ignoring the disruption, the changes in our world, and end up far from the potential of what we could have achieved because we're unwilling to adapt. Now, the trouble appeared to be in our story that Jesus, in his being flexible and giving attention to the woman, he'd lost sight of the other time-sensitive issue he was attending to. Because in verse 35, as he wraps up this conversation with the woman, a messenger arrives from Jairus' house, and they tell Jairus that his daughter has passed. There's probably no sense troubling Jesus now. But Jesus overhears this conversation, and he says, "Don't be afraid. Just have faith." Jesus stops the crowd, and with just a few of his disciples, he continues to Jairus' home where he arrives to people weeping and wailing, absolutely convinced that they have lost this young girl. And he says in a way that only Jesus can, "Why are you all crying? This girl isn't dead. She's just asleep." And of course, people who are in there grieving their loss, they just laugh at Jesus. But he makes them all leave and he goes to the girl and he tells this little girl to get up. And miraculously, she stands and walks around completely healed. See, Jesus knew that he could pay attention to both interruptions that day. And I think it's interesting because Mark's parallel storytelling here, we look at the two disruptions. Jairus was a somebody. He was a synagogue leader, a person of influence. The woman, on the other hand, she was a nobody. Yet Jesus attends to both. The flexibility in his plans weren't reserved for the most important. He didn't just pay attention to one. I think he stretched himself for both. He wasn't just flexible in one area, but he lived with this mindset of flexibility and adaptability. It was his approach to all situations. If we go back to our understanding of flexibility in the human body, sometimes if we're inflexible in one area, it can be detrimental to another. About halfway through this year, I started to get this pain in the back of my leg. It was in my Achilles. I couldn't do this, I couldn't raise my feet, I couldn't run, I couldn't really walk, to be honest. So I went and I saw my physio and she told me that I had acquired Achilles tendinopathy. Now, it was awful. It was painful, I felt uncomfortable, I had no stability in my leg. It's an injury that's caused usually by overuse, often in runners. But when the physio examined the rest of my leg, she told me that the injury was caused because my calf and my hamstring were so tight. And you know, she didn't spend time working on my Achilles in order to fix it. But she spent time in loosening my calf. See, inflexibility in one part of my body had led to injury in another. There's significant impact everywhere when we're inflexible somewhere. Do you want to know what the solution to my injury was? I had to stretch. And you know, at first it really hurt. But over time, my calves loosened up, my hamstring got more flexible, and I gained mobility back in my Achilles. And now I'm pain free. Actually, as I was thinking about it this week, I don't even remember which leg it was. But if I wanted to gain flexibility to get better, I needed to stretch. And I've been working on my stretching since then, not just in that leg, but all over, because I want to increase my flexibility so that I don't get injured, so that I can run faster, adapt quicker. And I don't want that just for my body. I want to be flexible in my approach, in my mindset, willing to listen and adapt to the interruptions of life. See, Jesus was continually flexible in the way that he met people's needs. He healed the sick and the crippled on the Sabbath. He asked people what they needed. He respected women and children. He wasn't concerned when his disciples picked out grain on the Sabbath and ate without washing their hands. In fact, when the Pharisees confronted him about his disciples breaking the rules, Jesus responded in Matthew 12, 6-7, "There is far more at stake here than religion. If you had any idea what this scripture meant, 'I prefer a flexible heart to an inflexible ritual,' you wouldn't be nitpicking like this." I prefer a flexible heart to an inflexible ritual. A flexible heart, that is the starting point. Let's be people of flexible hearts. Let's be people of flexible minds. Let's approach life with a willingness to adapt, to change, depending on what's going on around us. I read this quote earlier in the year from author Britt Barron. She says this: "We don't need to dig our heels in deeper into the sand every time we feel the ground shift. It's okay to shift with it. It's okay to change your mind. It's okay to be a different person than you were 10 minutes ago. The ground is shifting, and it's okay to let it move you." Be flexible in your mindset. Be flexible in your heart. Pay attention to the interruptions in your life, the change that happens in our world. New information can cause upheaval and anxiety in our lives, but it can also bring much-needed change. Let's be willing to adapt. Now more than ever, let's not just do what we've always done, but be willing to step forward, growing into the best version of ourselves that we can be. Let's be a church that truly values flexibility and willingness to adapt.